Welcome back to the Victory Podcast. Today, I am joined with Pastor Jody. I don't know why I say I'm joined. We have different people all the time, but hey, welcome.
Thanks.
So glad you're here. You look like you want to be here.
I do. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm excited. So we just got through with the Culture Check series. What'd you think about that one?
I felt pretty good about it. I hope it went like I think it went, but I love the idea of, and I think it worked, where people, again, just check the culture, because sometimes I don't feel like, or maybe we think we don't have influence in culture,
right.
And there's certain cultures we don't influence as much.
Right.
But there are certain cultures that are so close to us that we have direct impact, specifically our homes and our church. And so, I don't know, the series was just about checking that culture, making sure it lined up with the Word of God, and I think it worked.
Well, you said something this past week to close it, which is part of the podcast that we're going to do today, is you talked about spiritual motherhood, spiritual fatherhood. You gave some examples with Pastor Lori, and I've recently watched some documentaries where spiritual authority seemed to hurt people in the church,
mm-hmm.
And so I thought it would be great just to get on here and talk about spiritual discipleship, but in a different way, because we all know that we should be discipling people. But let's talk about the practical, the biblical side of it. What should we be doing? How to do it? Is there a right way, a wrong way? You mentioned that Pastor Lori and you got to just had to kind of check out for a moment last week because some heaviness that was on her from discipleship, and let's just unpack it and okay. See where we're at as a church. Start off. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a verse that your dad used to hammer into us a lot about discipleship and what we should be doing. And I'm what version do you have?
The New Living.
Read out of the New Living. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2.
I'll work for you.
Oh, my God. Read that scripture.
Okay, you have heard me teach these things. This is Paul writing, so he's saying, you have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who'll be able to pass them on to others.
And so whenever I think about discipleship, this is a verse that comes to mind, is the things that has been put in me, now teach to, the key word there is faithful.
Trustworthy, people.
Faithful yeah. people. The Passion Translation actually says deposit into faithful leaders.
Wow, that's good.
Which I know that's a word that we like about putting deposits in the people. And so practically, let's just talk about you. How do you do that?
How do I do that?
Dude, I just threw a curveball.
Right in the jump, in the deep end.
Yeah, curveball. So how do you, what's a way that maybe you've used to practice that or still do? Or?
Well, again, I've had times, it's interesting. I had a guy this week contact me from our church in Austin, just a young guy that when we were in Austin, we pastored in Austin for 4.5 years. We planted a church and then it, you know, with the idea of it was going to become a Victory Worship Center. And actually we were a home church and,
you weren't at first though. Cause
that's what I'm saying. And our intention was to build, you know, when you plan a church, you're like within 3 weeks, we'll have 1,000 people,
right.
And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it didn't happen that way. And it was God. I'm telling you, it was God kept us from growing because we became a home church. And I tell people, this is part of my story, it was the most beautiful expression of the body of Christ that I'd ever seen because it looked like the original church. It really was cool. But anyway, in that church, there was literally 40, 50 people, and we'd meet in homes, and it was beautiful. We got really involved in people's lives. It looked like this.
Really?
You know, it was not so much standing and preaching to hundreds of people. It was communicating in living rooms and making, it was really more direct deposits into people. And so it was a pretty cool experiment. And then I wondered why God sent me back here to this, but I think the things I learned there we're trying to implement here. That was part of how God developed us to do what we're doing now. But there was a young man there who came to me and he was like, hey, I want you to be my mentor. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, what does that mean? Because we all try to figure out what that means. You
right.
know, it's like, do we need to schedule meetings? Do
yeah.
I, like, need to have a lesson for you? You
yeah.
know? And it was really, it threw me, man, when he asked me to do this. So we would meet, and I would do the best I could to mentor this young
what
man.
What would you do, like have a scripture?
Read we'd it? Sit down and talk, you know,
okay.
and we'd just talk about the Word and talk about what we're studying and it was really pretty informal, and I didn't know how it landed. I really didn't. I left that going, I don't know if I made an impact on this guy's life. But because literally it was just, he would come hang out at the house and we'd just visit and we'd do things together. And I'm a bow hunter and he wanted to learn how to bow hunt and stuff. So we'd get bows out and we'd shoot and talk. And he was really into fishing. So we'd go do a little fishing or whatever. But it was really informal. And then he contacted me this week. I mean, this was back in 2010, 2011 when this happened.
Oh, wow. That long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And he contacted me this week, just out of nowhere, just shot me a text in the middle of the night, and he just said, hey, I want you to know that, it sounds going to sound like I'm patting myself on the back.
Pat it.
But he was like, I just want you to know that I still consider you my pastor. And 365, that was the name of our church, 365 Church ruined church for me. And he's like, I can't ever find anything like it. It was so beautiful, and just want you to know you had a huge impact on my life. And I was like, whoa, snap.
That's powerful.
And so when you ask me what that looks like, I can't say, knowing me, I'm not a social person, so you know I tend to be by myself a lot. Yeah. And so I need to grow in this too. We do a lot of time depositing in our staff, but outside of our staff, I probably need to do more of that. Obviously with my kids and grandkids, I do it, but I probably need to be more intentional.
Right.
With some other, find some other trustworthy men. But that's what it's looked like in the past. And it's had, obviously, it's had pretty good success, you know.
And I think discipleship, when it comes to spiritual father, motherhood, they're just like small groups in churches. There's two different types. You have program-based, lesson-based, curriculum-based. Then you have relationship-based, organic, natural, which is what you did, which is, I feel, the new way to do things. But again, that may be personality-driven. Because I don't like to be, I don't like to be, like a piece of cattle, like going through the gate and putting me in a fence. And this is the way, I don't like that. I like, honestly, I loved how when your dad was our senior pastor, he would just like come in the office at a random time, sit down and be like, hey, you got a couple minutes. And those couple minutes turned into like 2 hours mm-hmm. of just us talking, and so much truth came out of that, and so much mentorship, which I didn't even realize I was being mentored.
Right.
But now, looking back, recently, I'm going to be honest with you, probably in the last 3 to 4 months, I have now a new respect for your dad and what he did, because I mentioned his name so much. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the teachings that he did, and almost like a broken record, like, hey, you remember whenever you're, but now it's like I'm living it, and so now it's coming out, and right. Now I'm trying to go, how can I teach this the way that he did? And it can get messy at times, which I know we're talking about like leadership and stuff like that, but when it comes to discipling people, are they supposed to live with you 24/7? Are they?
Well, you know, when I said that Sunday, honestly, I said it intentionally, and I was fighting against something. Remember, in culture and in human nature, we swing things from one extreme to another, right?
Pendulum.
And right. So when we talk about, if you're old enough or look back in history enough, you know that, what, 3, 4, maybe 5 decades ago, there was a big discipleship movement, but it got too extreme. I mean, it's like before you got married, you had to go ask your
right.
spiritual authority whether this was the person, and you had people controlling each other's lives, and should I take this job, and
right.
and you know, and so
very manipulated.
Right.
Right.
That's the extreme on this. And so I think then the pendulum swung too far this way, where we really don't disciple people. We just preach messages and we teach lessons and we have programs and those type of things. And I think that's probably where we lean more today. Mm-hmm. And so what I was addressing Sunday was trying to maybe pull that back from that side of the extreme toward the middle. That, I mean, Paul said, you have 1,000 teachers. And I think, you know, I have people come up to me all the time saying, hey, I'm qualified to teach this material, yeah. or I'm a specialist in teaching this. And I'm like, great, there's a place for that in the body of Christ, obviously. But I think too many people want to stand in front of groups and teach things instead of doing what Jesus did, walk by some fishermen and go, hey, follow me.
Right.
And then walk with them through yeah. their mess and applaud them when they do well and then correct them when they do wrong and
right.
and walk with them through the messiness of that. And honestly, my wife is really good at that part. She's really good at taking people, getting involved in their lives. I mean, she does things like, this is funny. She'll come up and say, okay, well, you need to come to my office. You're off today. Come to my office. She'll tell somebody she's mentoring, come to my office, sit in my office. We're going to be in staff meeting. You sit in my office and read your Bible. You know, I mean, she's that person. You know? Because a lot of people have come to her in real brokenness. I mean, these people are, their lives are a mess. Right. And they're going, show me how to get out of this mess. And so she helps people in that way. So she's good at that. And I think we need more people willing to do that. You don't have to call people to your office and give them assignments, but the idea that, hey, I'm going to walk with you when you're about to make a decision, run that decision by me and let me just kind of poke holes in it and say, hey, right, you have a tendency of making bad decisions. Run that through somebody who has a history of making healthy decisions.
Yeah.
And let's walk through that. So anyway, I guess what I was trying to say Sunday, calling out the spiritual mothers and fathers, was just about, come on, people, let's not just teach lessons.
Yeah.
And even if you have a small group, don't just get up there and preach a message in a small group. It's like, no, have a dialogue. Find out where people are. You know, our classes, I mentioned the classes that we do here.
The crib classes?
They're dialogue. Mm-hmm. Because what I can do is I can gauge people's spiritual maturity as they're talking. Right. And not to condemn people, but just to go, okay, that brother needs a little help here in this area or whatever. So anyway, I'm talking a lot, but no, those are my thoughts.
I got you on here to talk, so right. You're good.
What else would we do?
Yeah, that's right. That's what we get paid for. But I do the pendulum. Even I remember the day, God, this is going to reveal my heart at the beginning of my ministry, was I could not wait for the day where I could preach a message, go into a green room and disappear.
Mm.
Because that's what the popular preachers did, was they never were with the people. They got VIP access. And I really thought that that was going to be me one day. And now looking at it and going, God, what was that for? I agree there are pastors and preachers and teachers, but we're supposed to live life with people. And when you put yourself on that far of a pedal, no one is supposed to have that much power.
Yeah.
Because then you get the God complex.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to bring up something that you may not want to bring up, but it's relevant. It's very relevant. And I know a lot of people have watched it. There's a documentary about a church that we follow that we have been around since 1994. I believe that this church has been around global. And there's a documentary about the fall of what's going on with them. And I watched it. And I'm going to mention a name, Carl Lentz, the pastor at Hillsong New York. Was the pastor at Hillsong New York. And whenever I stayed away from the documentary because I have a tendency to lean certain ways and I don't want to be influenced except by the word and by my mentors. And so I stayed away, but I have a friend who actually was part of Hillsong in Australia. And he's like, you need to watch it. Not all of it's true, but just watch this part and tell me what you think. So I was like, oh, all right. So I watched it. And I talked to this guy who was part of the church and he said, what do you think? And I said, I want to go take Carl Lentz. I want to hug him. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, Carl Lentz, still to this day, is one of my favorite teachers, one of my favorite preachers. Like, whenever I go back and watch his messages, I feel like they're, like, doctrinally sound. He just didn't live the life of what he was preaching, which reminds me of 1 Corinthians 9:27, where I discipline my body, teaching what to do. That way, when I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified.
Right.
I felt like he disqualified himself because he wasn't teaching himself. But then I go, he got so big that no spiritual authority was on his life. And now I'm in the spiritual authority going, I don't want to go back to where I remember before I went to Lakewood or Bethany or any other church, I would call your dad or I would call my youth pastor, your brother, and I would say, hey, a group of us are going to Lakewood. Are you cool with that? I did that out of respect, and I still would do that today. Like, yeah. I got invited to preach at a church yesterday. Coming up at the end of August, I called you to ask permission if I could go. I just think that's, you're my spiritual authority in that moment. You're my boss here, so I just want to get that permission. But I don't think you're doing this to me. I think it's just, number one, it's covering. I don't think we understand anointing and covering, and to where spiritual authority is not to tell me what to do with my life.
Right.
Spiritual authority is to keep me out of the ditches. Maybe that's not biblical, but I think it is. It's to keep me out of the ditches, to run stuff by you and to, like, hey, what do you think about this? Let's have some. And I feel like we're missing that in the church.
Yeah.
And Carl Lentz missed that because he got so popular, so big that there was no spiritual thorn in his life. And that's why I just want to go to him and hug him and say, man, go find a pastor. who can really mentor and pastor you and love you through it, which is what we do as shepherds.
Yeah.
But whenever you get so big and you feel like I don't need a shepherd anymore, well, that's when a wolf comes and eats you. And so I think the spiritual fatherhood, motherhood is so relevant today, and we need it, but we don't need it to look like it did in the past, to where we control people.
Yeah.
So it's just this balance that we're saying, like, that, if you never heard the pendulum, we say the pendulum a lot because we taught that society goes this way, pendulum, and then the Lord brings you back this way, and then human nature takes it to extreme.
I can watch moves in the body of Christ and see God, like, we were out of balance here, so God moved us here, and he was trying to get us to center. Of course, when we get to center, we take it from there and pull it to the extreme. And then he's like, let's go back this way.
Right.
And then we hit center and we're there for a minute in the sweet spot. And then we pull it back too far this way, you know. And
we always try to make golden calves.
Right.
You, Pastor Jody always says, look at the children of Israel. And that's pretty much us.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. It's like, oh, we need a king.
Yeah.
And then we need a law. We need this. And so I do think spiritual authority is something missing. But I think it's missing because it was done inappropriately. Not appropriate.
So in my mind, I'm trying to tie this spiritual mother and fathering with spiritual authority. That's what I'm doing in my head right now. Because usually when we think of spiritual authority, we think of pastors and teachers and apostles and those kind of things. And both of them are valid. I do say, so I'll do it this way. I'll answer this way, is that you mentioned the shepherd. Remember, God is considered the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is our shepherd, and we're the sheep. And I think you can see that same analogy applied throughout different things in our lives. The idea of a shepherd is he leads them to a safe place where there's food and stuff. He doesn't pick grass and put it in the sheep's mouth. You know, he just brings them to a place, and then his covering provides security, provision, the covering of the shepherd. The sheep can now be sheep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago in one of my messages, I talked about the husband being the covering over their wives. In the same way, I think our job as husbands is to provide security,
mm-hmm.
and our wives thrive underneath that security. They can be all that God's created them to be underneath the security of the husband. So it's now apply that same thing to what we're talking about here, spiritual authority. I believe that's what spiritual authority does. It provides a covering. Your pastor—
yeah.
You know, apostles, teachers, people who you need to, and you need to recognize their authority.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people have pushed back against spiritual authority because we took it too far. Those of us in spiritual authority took it too far.
Right.
And we begin to manipulate people for our own good. That's not the heart of Jesus. You never see Jesus do that. Right. But, so I think we've pushed back against spiritual authority because of that.
Right.
But I think God's moving us back this way, going, your pastor is your spiritual authority. Underneath the covering of the word and the stuff and the anointing that he walks in, you can exercise your gifts. You can be free to be who you are under that spiritual authority. Now, with spiritual mothers and fathers, I think it's the same thing. If you will submit yourself, if you have someone who is willing, who is healthy and solid and willing to speak into your life, picture them as a covering over you. Now, what they're going to do, I mean, a shepherd has a stick, too. You know, like, hey, not there.
Yeah.
Pull them back in this way. That crook is to, you know, pull the sheep, not there. There's danger there. And a lot of people, what we've experienced when spiritual mothering and fathering is that you start walking with somebody, and they're so glad you're there, and they're so glad that you're able to pull them out of their mess, and they get a little healthy, and the next thing you know, they start making bad decisions. And you reach out with that crook to like pull them back in, and they go, no, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I don't feel peace with that decision, and I'm just going to go do this. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought I was your spiritual authority. This isn't for me. That's what I tell people all the time when I'm counseling. I said, I'm going to give you advice. I don't have to live with the consequences of your decision. You do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But my job is to tell you where there's danger and how to, I don't know if we've gotten off track.
No, because I got somewhere to go with that. No, that's good.
So I think spiritual authority has its place. It just shows all throughout the family, the church, the everything. God works in spiritual authority. And churches, pastors, healthy leaders provide spiritual authority. Also, spiritual mothers and fathers and mentors provide spiritual authority. But if you're going to walk in that as someone being mentored, you need to be okay with them going, don't do that, and not buck up against it and go, well, that, you know, you're not hearing from God. You know, I'm gonna leave. I'm walking out.
So let me give you another thought to what you just said, because this is yesterday when we were talking about what we're going to talk about, I said we may disagree some on this one. I'm really excited about it because I think both stances are right. So when you said don't buck against it, so I'm gonna bring up one name. I'm not gonna bring up the other name for protection here. But in my life, almost 16 years ago, there was a decision I was wanting to. Actually, 17 years ago, there was a decision I wanted to make. One of my spiritual authorities said, "No, you can't do that." I went to your dad, and your dad did not tell me no. He didn't say, "You can't do that." You like did not give me these ultimatums. He walked with me and he said, "Let's think about this for a moment. What do you want your influence to be? Where do you want to end up? Is this going to hurt or help your influence?" And he helped me train my thinking,
right,
and didn't tell me to follow a list of rules.
Yeah, that's right.
And that changed my life. And I still use that today. And so I had one mentor that wanted to give me rules. Don't do this. Don't buck the system. If I only would have had him, guess what I would have done? I would have rebelled. Mm-hmm. Or I would have done it out of the wrong heart, and then I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. But because your dad, and I'm not saying that this mentor was a bad shepherd. He loved me. He saw the edge, and he's like, no, don't. No. He saw one of his sons running to the edge, and he did everything he could.
Right.
My other spiritual mentor goes, all right, this is not the edge that you think it is, but let's look. And he walked with me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, is that both? Is one right, one wrong, or is it different scenarios? I mean, if you have somebody about to shoot up crack in their arm, do you shoot crack?
I don't think you shoot crack.
I don't even know what it is. Anyway, God, the Christian part of me just came up. But whatever drug it is that you put in your veins, I don't even know. I can't even think of heroin. Okay, there we go. So if you're about to shoot up heroin, I'm not going to go, hey, bro.
Let's think about this.
I'm going to go, no, and I'm going to slap you out. Or if you're about to go cheat on your spouse, I'm going to grab you by the neck like a dog and go, no, don't do that. So is there a right and wrong way to do it? Maybe, but that's where I feel like the Holy Spirit is in us to go, you're my tutor. You tell me. You send me. I don't think we rely on the Holy Spirit. Maybe we rely too much on our brain and fear.
So we had people maybe getting an interest in following a spiritual mother and father, and then you just disqualified spiritual mothers and fathers.
How did I do that?
By saying you can't trust them. They may make wrong decisions.
No, I'm not saying that, but it was out of love. I just think that the way to spiritual father and motherhood is to walk with people.
Yeah, I mean,
Jesus was training thinking.
But it's like parenting, you know. I mean, when kids are young, you make decisions for them, but eventually as they mature, you have to teach them how to make decisions for themselves.
Right.
And where parents go wrong is they make every decision for their child to their 18th birthday. That kid can't wait to get out the house, and they've never been trained to make decisions.
Right.
And then they go out and make bad decisions. So part of spiritual mothering and fathering is in the early days you make decisions for them.
Right.
Right. But then as they mature, you learn how to teach them how to make decisions.
Right.
And that's what my dad did with you.
Right.
He walked you through how to make a decision.
Right.
Not just telling you what the decision should be.
Yeah.
You know.
Which still helps me today.
Absolutely.
And so that's what I'm saying. I don't think one's right and one's wrong. It's just different timing where I believe the Holy Spirit will tell us.
And spiritual mothers and fathers or authorities or whatever, they're not infallible. They're not perfect people. And so, you know, you just got to choose wisely,
right?
And maybe have more than one. I don't know. Which I don't encourage people to go to too many counselors. You know, people come to me and go, "I'm going to three other counselors."
I'm looking for the answer I want.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't need four counselors,
right?
You know, three of those are not useful.
Yes.
So,
I do think spiritual authority. Let me say it like that. Let me do the mentor thing. That's where we need. I'm not going to say we as in Victory Worship Center, the body of Christ. We need more people to help mentor more people.
That's what I was going to say. If, you know, what would be a win out of this podcast and what we said Sunday to me is because I can look around. I literally did this Sunday, walk around looking at people going, that woman could help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Who is she helping? And sometimes even, let me just say this, they're serving in our church. They may be a greeter, which right. we need greeters and we appreciate greeters. And yep. so they're doing things in our church. But I'm like, when they get to heaven, is God going to say, man, you serve good coffee? You know, it's like I would rather them, and it doesn't have to be either or. You don't have to quit the coffee shop to be a spiritual right. mother. But it's like, don't just serve coffee. Find somebody,
right.
you know, to help. And some people don't feel qualified to do it, which I get. But some people are just don't even think about it. They don't right. think about the fact that I need to be responsible to help another human being on this planet. And a lot of them, you know, and I'm going to push a boundary here. But, you know, a lot of them I find are the older people. They've raised their kids. They feel like I've mentored. I've been a spiritual father to my kids
right.
or mother to my kids, and now I'm retired. So, but I'm looking at those retired people going, golly, you accidentally learned things that a 30-year-old needs to know.
Right.
You know, please make yourself available to somebody, yeah. even if it's go have a cup of coffee with them every once in a while or
right.
say, hey, you know, I'm here if you need to bounce an idea off of me or tell me what's going on in your world. Let me help you, you know. I think what I would like for this is more people sitting in church pews say, I could be a benefit to somebody else in the, not teaching a class. Right. And there's some of you who need to teach, but there's some of you who don't.
Right.
Not the idea of, well, I need to get a curriculum then, or need to buy a Bible study by whoever and lead this person through a Bible study. I'm like, I don't know if that's necessary. How about just having them over to the house?
Right.
Because you remember in Titus when it's talking to the older women about mentoring young women,
yeah.
It's not talking about deep spiritual things there. It says things like how to love your husband, mm-hmm. how to, you know,
yeah.
do things well. And it's like some ladies, they just need some practical.
Yeah.
They need to know how to make a peach cobbler, you know,
yeah.
canned vegetables. They need to know, you know, and a lot of these Gen Zers and stuff, they're interested in that. They would love for somebody to show them how to.
Right.
How to do something. And while you're doing that, guess what's going to come out? The word that's on right. the inside of you. How you've stayed married for 60 years. How you, yeah. you know, how you handle kids who
right.
aren't behaving like they should behave, you know, and that stuff tends to come out in those settings. And so I would encourage people, especially the older generation, I'm asking for the older generation, please don't retire on us
right.
from the kingdom of God.
Right.
You know, invest in somebody.
Yeah. Your mom used to have now this is more program based, but the result of it worked.
Yeah.
She had a single moms group
Absolutely.
Back in the day. And we have a communication class. And one of our people that went through was a lady named Mandy. And she was part of that class. And one of her speeches that she gave in the communication class was what your mom helped her with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some spiritual truth, but it was like, here's how to iron the clothes. Here's yeah. how to organize your cabinets.
Right.
And
here's
your
manage
mom,
a checkbook. Yeah.
This was awesome. They would have a meeting, and then your mom during the week would actually go to their house and sit there with them and help them organize their house
yeah.
and make it peaceful for their kids. And we're talking about single moms.
Yeah.
And my respect for your mom, this was 7 months ago when Mandy gave her speech. I'm like, oh my gosh, like
yeah.
your mom changed this person's life and every single mom that was in that group.
Yeah.
Again, spiritual truths mixed with some practical application. And so this always begs the question, whose responsibility is it? Is it the mentor or the mentee to go after? Is the mentor supposed to be looking, or is it the mentee looking for mentors? The answer is both, but
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's again for this podcast and for my message. What I would I'd push more toward the mentor, you know, and just say, man, go. And it could be that I show up at church every day and I see this person sitting over there.
Right.
Just go sit down and start talking with them,
right?
You know, and figure out what they're about and see if there's a way your lives could intersect,
right.
you know.
Don't overcomplicate this.
Right.
Like Bob Goff is one of my spiritual heroes in the faith. He wrote a book, Love Does. And I got the privilege of riding in the car with him for 45 minutes and him blowing my brain. And he kept saying, Brady, it's really simple.
Yeah.
Don't overcomplicate the gospel. It's simple. Feed hungry people.
Absolutely.
Clothe naked people. Do what Jesus did. And Jesus always gave.
Mm-hmm.
That was his life. And I'm like, God, I overcomplicate this too much. I go, oh, what if I don't know what to say? What? But I'm like, isn't that be prepared in season out? But then when I don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will tell me what to say and walk. And like, okay, it's time to start doing it. And looking back, I can say that I've not done it as well as I would like, but we're all learning. And even learning boundaries and when to let people in, when not to. And so, I agree. I think we're just looking for people. And I know one of the things is, well, I don't know as much as Pastor Jody. I can't do what he does. And your dad used to, there I go talking about your dad again. Your dad used to always say the most elementary thing that you know about Jesus will help somebody.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think we got to keep that in mind. Like, you know something that they don't know. And it could just mean, I know 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. Walk with them. And I can tell you this. Our church, I know we don't talk about numbers and statistics, but we're about 160 to 175 more people now than we were last year. Mm-hmm. So we have been steadily growing 12 to 14% the last 3 years, even during COVID. And so honestly, over the past 6 years since you took over, I think it's like 22% growth that we're on. That's a lot, which means there's a lot of new people.
And I love the healthy growth, man. I just love the way we've grown. We hadn't blown up. And to a place that's not healthy. I love the fact that we're healthy.
Right.
Anyway.
And this is one of the, and what I want our listeners and our viewers to know is what we're doing now is shoring up the structure.
That's right.
Because we know that for growth to happen,
there has to be structure.
There has to be structure. Yeah. Yeah. And right now there are teams that we're shoring up, but the thing that we have to shore up the most is if one more person comes in and leaves after 3 months because they said they can't get connected, like, I want to punch myself in the face.
Well, that's what Jesus said. I mean, we probably find ourselves in what Jesus said. The fields are white. Like, it's here.
That's right.
We just need laborers.
That's right.
And so this is probably what we're doing right now is calling more. Like, we don't necessarily need more staff members right now.
Right.
But we need more laborers.
That's right.
To come in and help us. And even, like, serving in the LP and Kidmo and stuff like that, those ministries have that personal touch of discipleship and mentorship more than our hospitality teams do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So a starting place may be sign up in the LP, sign up for Kidmo, sign up in the ARC, where you can begin to learn how to make deposits into those individuals.
Yeah, those are a little more hands-on.
Yeah.
I agree. And there are youth small groups that happen once a month in the LP that you could help with.
Yeah, and just sit there and be a part of it and hear where kids are these days and hear what they're talking about and speak into some things. And I tell you, I watched are you a fan of Jordan Peterson?
I don't know.
Ever heard of him?
Jordan Peterson.
I can't decide if I'm a fan or not. I don't think he's a I think he's recently become a believer. I think he's from Canada, but he's a psychologist or something. Sharp, sharp, sharp guy, but has recently come to the Lord. Still a little raw, but
those are my favorite.
Yeah, but he's a thinker, man. And I watched a video of him the other day talking about fatherhood, and I was so captivated because he had such a clear, and somehow he's able to communicate in a way, you know, because right now with the feminist movement and everything, you know, nobody wants to be shoved into a box like a woman has to stay home and wear an apron and stuff, you know. And I get that. No woman wants to be them. So they fight against those roles, those typical roles of man, wife, husband, father. But somehow he's able to navigate those subjects without causing people on the feminist side to go apoplectic, you know. But he was just talking about what a father brings to the family. And as I'm watching this, I'm going, man, no wonder our nation is in the shape it's in because we've become fatherless. You know, there's so many homes without fathers in them. And I'm not saying that to shame because undoubtedly there's going to be somebody who watches this podcast who there's not a father in the home. Not here to shame you.
Right.
And you're going, yeah, no kidding, Jody. I mean, this
stinks, wait, Captain, you know? Obvious.
You know? Yeah. And so I'm not here to shame you, but as a pastor, I'm looking like somehow we've got to get the family back in order.
Yeah.
So that, because, you know, we lost, the divorce became so prevalent and families became so flippant. And now all of a sudden we got single parents raising kids and really what the man brings and what the wife brings, those complementary giftings really are so profound in the way we shape children, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you break that for generations, then you have what we have today.
Yeah.
And it just reconfirmed in me the value of fatherhood, but also of spiritual fatherhood. I'm like, I think we got a generation of men who didn't have a father in their home and don't know how to be a man, much less a spiritual man and a spiritual, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're hungry, man. I'm telling you, there's people who have good jobs, who have all the things, but they don't know how to be a spiritual leader in their home. And and they need just good, solid. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have you don't have to be wealthy. Or just come alongside these men and just show them what it looks like, you know?
What was the, it was on Amazon Prime, the one that you had us watch, Priscilla Shire's dad? He goes around to the barbershop and goes around.
Oh, Tony Evans.
Tony Evans.
Oh, my gosh.
What was the name of that?
I'm a huge fan of Tony Evans.
What was the name of that?
I don't remember what that was.
I can't remember.
Was it a documentary type?
Yeah, it was like a little documentary. I think it was on Amazon Prime.
Oh, my gosh, that was good. You need to go watch that if you can figure out what it is.
Yeah, Tony Evans, Amazon Prime, but it's really good about him, fatherless generation, teaching men. It's really good.
Yeah. And so we need a lot of that. Yeah, just go to the barbershop, you know, with your son, you know, and go to Alex's barbershop in Vinton and whatever. And I don't know, just teach him how to run a chainsaw or something. I don't know, you know, just, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway.
Well, so I hope this podcast meant something to you.
We were random in this one.
Hey, these are my favorite ones. Yeah. These really are my favorite podcasts because I believe there's truth in everything that we were saying and dissecting what we need. And it comes down to we believe the field is white. We need laborers to go into the harvest. Do you know that that's the last thing that you said when you left for Belize?
Really?
We were, it's right whenever the offices kind of got remodeled and we were in where Nakota's office is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where we were meeting staff and you were leaving and you popped your head in and you said, "Hey, before I go, pray the Lord of the harvest. Mm-hmm. Don't forget it." And then you walked out, and we're like, Shadow Jody. And so the whole time, I'm like, is that a cryptic message? Like, is he really not going to Belize? Like, what's going on? But, so pray the Lord of harvest because laborers are few. And so just find somebody, mentor, be a spiritual father or mother. I know that wording is kind of confusing sometimes and can be heavy. Just hang out with somebody.
Absolutely.
Teach those things that you know to somebody else, but do it in a way where you're not haughty.
Yeah.
Doing a way where you're not prideful. I know it all. Let people walk with you. Yeah. That's probably the best way. That's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And the teachings didn't, one thing about Jesus, the teachings didn't start immediately.
Yeah.
He let them just feel things. And that's what even Elijah did to Elisha. He passed the mantle over shoulder and he's like, come follow me. Like, you felt that? Like, and so I believe that's what we should be doing.
I had a guy reach out to me last week and offer to help me at my house, work on my house. But I knew from the text, because as soon as I said, okay, you know, he started telling me his life story on text. And
Jody loves text.
You picked it up right away that, okay, what this guy is looking for is just time with me, you know. And so we had another friend of mine who came and helped me Saturday. So it was me and my buddy and then this new guy. And we just built a house together. But it was funny because while it was happening, you could see the connections. You could see it. And then he's sharing his story. And then his story overlapped with my buddy's story. And I was able to say, well, you know, this guy's been through that. And now he is here, here, and here. And you could tell this guy's like, oh, wow. You know, and so it's just like building a house. I mean, sweaty, nasty, sawdust, doing the whole thing. And mentorship was happening in there. And so people are hungry for this, man. And they'll help you build your house. If
hey,
you,
hey, I'm about to build an addition to my shop. So, hey.
No, wait, stop. Yeah.
So, hey, leave him, come help me. No, just kidding. But, so find somebody, mentor him, and let's go after the harvest.
Absolutely.
All right, catch you on the next one.
Thanks.